More fire, Daddy. Ha. All right. How many here are familiar with the anointing of the Holy Spirit? Good. Okay. Amen. All right, then. Since we're familiar with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to ask the anointing of the Holy Spirit to increase in this place. Holy Spirit, I pray. Yeah, there he is. Keep coming, Lord. Ha. Increase. Increase a little bit more. Ha. Increase a little bit more. I pray, Lord, that you would be tangible, that you'd be visible. Now, this is really good, but you know, a good way to get the anointing of the Holy, those of you who are familiar with the Holy Spirit, put your hand on the person beside you if they feel comfortable. Ask them if they feel comfortable. Ha. And just now ask the anointing, ask the Holy Spirit to fill that person. Ha. Thank you, Lord. As much as God loves to come down and touch us, he loves even more to touch us through individuals, through other people. Ha. Keep coming, Holy Spirit. Here. Fill us up with strength. Ha. Fill us up with wisdom. Fill us up with revelation today, for today, God. I pray, Lord, that you would open up the eyes and ears of our heart, that we would be able to receive the word that you have for us today, God. I pray that even I would get revelation, even more revelation, as I peer into the wisdom of God. Ha. I thank you, Lord, that the wisdom of God and the manifestation of Jesus Christ, ha, is like an ocean of love. There is no height, nor depth, nor width that is so wide and so big, ha, that you could spend your whole lifetime looking into it. Ah, hey, and not even see the bottom. The vastness of space is nothing compared to the vastness of your love and your goodness. The vastness of space is nothing compared to the vastness of the beauty of your presence, both inside and out of us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Ha. Okay. This is great. I was asking God last night about this sermon. I was like, God, where do I start? I do that often. I know what it's going to be. I get the download, but I don't never know where to start. Ha. I have a good friend of mine. They said, well, just figure out where you want to finish, and then you'll figure out where you want to start. And I did that too. But so God helped me out. Luke 12. 22, Jesus says to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will put on, for life is much more than food, and the body is much more than clothing. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap, they do not have barns and fields, but how much more, and God feeds them. Ah, God feeds them. How much more worth are you than these birds? Which of you, by worrying, can add 1 minute or cubit, 1 inch to your stature? Ah. If you then are not able to do this, why are you so anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies of the field. They neither toil nor spin. And yet, I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So if God can clothe the grass, which is here today and gone tomorrow, thrown away, how much more will God clothe you? Think about that. And then he says what I'm going to call the key verse for today. You know, he talks about, do not be anxious about what you're going to eat and drink. For the world, seeks after these things. The world seeks after these things. But in verse 31, it says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added on to you. Seek first the kingdom of God. A lot of times I say to God, you know, how do I seek you first? The kingdom of God. And how does this correlate with the first commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. I know that it correlates a lot with the second commandment. That if you love your neighbor as you love God, or love yourself but really love God, then you will be doing unto Christ. You'll be seeking Christ first. But anyways, we're going to keep going. Think about that, though. We want to seek first the kingdom of God and love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. If we can do the first commandment and the second commandment, we have fulfilled the whole law, all of it. God always tells me to do stuff that sounds really simple but seems really hard. Like patience. Has anybody struggled with patience? I believe this verse is a lot about patience. Because in order to seek first the kingdom of God, a lot of times it means you have to be patient. You have to wait on God to move and work through you. You have to believe that God will actually clothe you like the lily. You have to believe that God will provide for you like He does the birds. And that you have much more value than birds. But sometimes we get impatient. Right? So, there was a bunch of people in the Bible who got a little bit impatient. And Haggai set them straight. And Haggai 1. Right? It says that Haggai came to the people and he's like, you people, I'll read it to you. Thus says the Lord of hosts to the people. The time has not come that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came and it says, the time for you yourselves to dwell in painted houses, and his temple is in ruins. Therefore, the Lord says, consider your ways. You've sown much, but you eat, but you don't have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You are clothed, but you're not warm. You earn wages, but they're put into bags with holes. Thus says the Lord, consider your ways and go up into the mountains and bring wood and build my temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified. Think about that. And it goes on. And the people repented. And they went to build the temple of God. Because you see, they weren't seeking first the kingdom of God, but they were seeking their own things, their own ways. They were building their own houses. Now, how does that relate to us in the church, you might ask? Now, yeah. There's times in life where you just get so busy with your individual life that you don't have time to get involved in stuff in church. You don't have time to do kids' ministry. You don't have time to go to... I get so mad. Sometimes I'm just like, ooh, God! Because I want to have the time. I want to have the time. Sometimes I've been spending time fasting, praying for the time to seek first. And I'm asking God, like, why don't I have the time? And you know what the Lord always says to me? Because of the fact that you're worrying about how you'll be clothed. Because of the fact that you're worrying about food and shelter. And so you're running after those things. And it's actually making your situation worse and eating more and more and more of your time until you get to the point where you start to seek me first. You're going to find that you're going to be putting money into bags with holes. I tried it 2 years ago, or a year and a half ago, when I had two jobs. My car broke down. I got crazy bills. I got these insane fines for parking in front of my house that were $250 each. I got three of them. All this stuff, and it was like the money that I was earning was going into holes. It was crazy. And I was like, oh, God. What's going on? And God was like, you're not seeking first. You're worrying about what you will eat and what you will wear and where you will be. And you're not building my church, my house. And our church, well, it had some troubles. It went from like 80 people to 40 people. And then I was like, oh, God, I'm so sorry. And so I started preaching about seeking God first to lots of people, like Natasha. And she went to Zambia, and God, like, rocked it. And we had Amanda. She went to Japan, and there's revival in Japan. She has so many meetings that she can't do them all, so she's asking us to send people to Japan to help her out. And there's lots of people in this church who are doing amazing things right now. Joseph sought the Lord first and went to the Philippines and had this school for pastors and leaders that was 400 people, and now it's exploded into all these churches and stuff. It's incredible. And people in this church just started to seek God first. And God started really moving. My wife, we started out helping out the pregnancy care center for people who had babies and weren't very well supported. And our whole church supported them, and it was really awesome. Now there's 30 other churches doing it and 2 pregnancy care centers. So then God gave us a new assignment to help those who are sexually exploited. And so we're doing that now. And that's really fun. It's fun to see the freedom on their faces and the joy. Ah, Claire knows. It is. We had there's so many people in here who have risen up to the occasion. Mike and Gwen want to start a church in Calgary now, and they're about to do that. Alicia works with... does all this media stuff, and she wrote this amazing play last year, and 1,500 people got saved, and she's doing stories for television now to do it with Christian stuff, and it's amazing. She's working with the CBC now, and God, yeah. I can give you story after story of victory after victory after victory after victory that we've had in this church because people decided that they were going to seek God first. Ha! And build this church because, you know, we are the church. In 2 Peter, it says that we are living stones pushed together to make a temple for God. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that later. Living stones pushed together to form a temple of God. You know what that means? Oh, I'll get into it a little bit, but I got to get into it more with Scripture later. Think about this. When we become the temple, we become the body of Christ. And the body of Christ, I believe, is the place where God the Father's Spirit dwells, where his power flows through on earth. So instead of the power, all the power of all the Godhood flowing through one man, it flows through a giant church now. Isn't that amazing? Think about it. Holy Spirit, give it to them like you gave it to me. I got that through meditation. Because that's what I do to combat wandering thoughts and evil thoughts. So I meditate on the Word daily. And God gives me amazing revelations. And so, I'm praying and praying for our church, Midtown. Because you see, I want to see more Alicias, more Natashas, more Veroniques, more Josephs, more Mike and Gwens. I want to see more people risen up and going for it and getting the victory in God. Because I believe that the devil has come to rob and steal. But Jesus came that we might have life and life abundantly. And I don't believe that that life is sitting in a group with a bunch of people in a circle complaining about all the things that God hasn't done for us and justifying why we haven't sought God first. That's not an abundant life. That's frustrating. That just heaps more fear and condemnation onto an individual. The great part about Christianity is actually going out and doing it. It is. Because he's already won the victory. It's like going apple picking and finding the apples all on the trees. All you have to do is just put them in the barrel and carry them home. Ha! The work has already been done. You know? So anyways, sorry about the rant. But back to seeking God first. And why we don't, because we're afraid. Turn to the book of Ezra for me. See, I'm praying for this church, and specifically for our church and for other people to come here who are hungry and thirsty, who want to be free, who want to do things in the kingdom of God and not just talk about it, who want to lead worship, who want to teach kids, who want to preach, because I'm not the only one who preaches in this church. Or my Natasha's preaching in this church. Why? Because the Bible says that we're all kings and priests. And we all have something to give. And I honestly believe that. And so we put our money where our mouth is and we invite our leadership to come and share. Right? So in Ezra is a minor prophet. And I don't know why they don't put Ezra and Haggai together, but they don't. Don't ask me. Because it is behind the book of Psalms, behind the book of Nehemiah. Which is weird, too, because they should put Nehemiah then Ezra, but it's not chronologically in order. It used to really annoy me before, especially in Bible college. I actually had to get a chart of all the dates to put it all together, and then it was easier for me to memorize most of the Bible. So, anyways, still working on it. In Ezra 3, the people were really enthused. Okay? They left the place where they were at in Persia, and they went to Jerusalem. Oh, that's why. They went to Jerusalem. They built the wall. It restored the foundations of the temple, and they built the altar. Altar's important, because that's when they started putting out sacrifices, prayer, and they started worshiping. And this is really important, because you see, in the Bible, there's something called the Tabernacle of David. And it's believed that the tabernacle of David was 24-hour worship and prayer, and it actually brought the kingdom of God to the earth. And from that place, it began to expand, and the Lord put all of his enemies underneath his feet, which is why we're doing House of Prayer and why I'm so passionate about House of Prayer. Okay? The enemies of the Lord, and they were rejoicing and singing, God is good. For he is good, and his love endures. And it talks about how the Lord came down, and they were all filled with the joy of God, the presence of God. There was a glory upon them. That's a lot better than having the money fall through your pockets as if you have holes in it, putting on clothes and not being warm. Right? And they were rejoicing and they were excited and they were enthusiastic, much like when we first started this church. Amen? Amen. But as we know in Haggai, it didn't end that way. Even though the presence of the Lord came, it says in chapter 4, Haggai chapter 4, it says, the adversaries heard what was happening about the rebuilding of the temple of the Lord of Israel. And they were afraid. So they decided to put some resistance against it. There was trouble. There was a trial. And we've had lots of people in here who've had trials and went to other churches because of it. There was resistance. There was opposition against the thing that was so great. A lot of times, the opposition to you getting involved in your call in God or inside your church will be, someone will say, you know, you really got to worry about what you should wear. You really got to worry about what you should eat. And you should seek those things first. Take care of yourself. Then you can take care of God. How many people have heard that one? I have. Lots of times. And so you're not moving forth in faith anymore, but you're moving in fear. And the money is falling through your pockets. And your clothes are not keeping you warm. And you're trying your hardest to build your own house with the justification that when I'm finished, then I'll work on the house of the Lord. But that's not the way that God works. It's a trick. It's a trap. And it robs you. And it robs God. It's interesting, because if you go back to Haggai, it actually says, if you build me a house, I will glory in it. I'll put my glory in it. And we know that when the glory of God came, and as were just for the sacrifice, there was feasting, there was rejoicing, and there was joy, and there was prosperity that was brought. Some people decided to use that prosperity to build their own house, and all of a sudden, you know, the presence of God is gone. But why was that? Why would they stop? Well, I believe that because of the trial, because of these adversaries here. They actually wrote a letter to the king and said, these people are rebellious. They used a false accusation. You should command them to stop the building. And so what happens is that you're like, okay, I'm seeking my own stuff so I can seek the kingdom of God. But God doesn't seem to be blessing the stuff that's in the kingdom of God, so maybe I should stop doing that. because I don't feel any blessing in what I'm doing. Has anybody ever been there? Yeah. Good news. Resist the devil and he will flee. Resist him. The Bible says that he stands before the throne of God accusing people day and night. And through your adversaries, he will accuse you and try to discourage you from seeking God first, because he knows that if he can stop you from seeking God first, then these things will not be added on to you. And you won't walk in your call, you won't walk in your destiny, and you won't walk in joy, and you won't walk in peace. You'll be cold and hungry, especially spiritually. And trust me, it's a lot worse to be cold and hungry spiritually than it is to be physically. Let me see. There's lots of big stars that committed suicide. Let me think of a few. Do you know a few committed suicide? Pardon? The hockey player, recently, he committed suicide. It's quite a few of them. I'm trying to think of some offhand, but I don't know that many stars anymore. You hear all these stories of them doing all this weird stuff like cocaine and all this stuff, and, you know, Amy Winehouse was another one, yeah. Keith Ledger. See, there's lots of, you hear it all the time. You know why? Because they're starving and they're cold and they don't know how to escape it. Because they've built their own house. They've went their own way and they've not answered the call of God. And they're miserable no matter how much they have. And they just can't find satisfaction. I was there. I was there once. Making $3,000 a week and ingesting, I don't know, half an ounce of drugs every night just to, so I could sleep, and I could barely sleep. I know what it's like. Anyways, so there is opposition. And they were discouraged, and they stopped building. So they never finished the walls or the foundations. And it was sad. They were sad. And so you know what the Spirit of the Lord does? Calls you back to himself. You know, there's this one verse in Zechariah, I love it, says, "Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as red as scarlet, they can be whiter than wool. I can remove any reproach or anything that the enemy has stolen from you. I can make it seem as far as the east is from the west from you. I can restore you in a second, because all of the cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. And I have all the peace and all the joy and all the love and all the goodness and all the clothes and all the money that anybody can ever want or ask for." Anne's going to Manitoulin Island to minister to Indians. Yeah. She's going. She's going to come back every once in a while and give us good reports about what God's doing. And I want to raise more people up to do exploits for God. Mighty exploits. Because I believe it's important. As Jesus died on a cross, that we might have the victory that he didn't get. When you don't take the victory that Jesus died on a cross for you to get, it's like crucifying God all over again. Not that you can, because he's in glory. seated beside God with all power and all of his enemies underneath his feet. But the Bible actually says that you grieve the Holy Spirit of God. I love it. God, the one who is full of goodness, full of life, full of joy, full of restoration, is actually willing to subject himself to pain that we might be able to go forward into our destiny. Maybe we should be willing to subject ourselves to a little bit of pain that we might be able to go forward in our destiny. You think? And so what happened? The people were discouraged and they ceased the work. But then it says here in chapter 5, then the prophet Haggai and Zechariah, and I love Zechariah, they came and they prophesied to them. And we read the book. We read the passage and he said, come back to the Lord and begin to build my house and I will bless you. I will give you peace. I will fill your bank account. I will clothe you. Greater than even Solomon, which I believe is the clothes of Christ, which is good deeds inside of Christ Jesus, which are more beautiful than any Versace gown you can ever have. And he calls them back. And what do they do? What's the first thing they do? Well, first they start the construction. But it says here in verse 7 of chapter 5, it says, they send a letter to the king. They pray. And they say, we would like to continue the building of the temple which you commanded. If you look in the records, you will find that you actually commanded us to rebuild this. You gave us the temple articles to rebuild it on its former site for God. This was actually a decree of the king. And these people who have written about us a bad thing, that we're rebellious and bad, they're totally wrong. And they refuse to agree with the accusation of the enemy. You should take care of yourself first and not take care of God's business. They refuse to agree with that. And they appealed to the king. Think about that. And the king wrote back in chapter 6. Not only said that he said that he was pleased with the fact that they were doing what they were doing, but he was actually going to send them more provision. He was going to send them food and clothes and articles of silver and gold and wood. Sound familiar? These people, they resisted the devil. And he fled. And they got the provision. Natasha? You know? Alicia? Joseph, Grace? Some aren't here because they're off doing exploits. Amanda? Jason's on his way. Vivian's on her way. Jill and Kev have been doing it for a while, but point being is that God sent provision, more provision than what they ever imagined. It was royal provision, good stuff. And the king actually wrote that he was pleased with the Jews. And he asked God, the only thing he asked him to do was pray for him. And the temple was finished, and they offered sacrifices of male goats and female goats, and the priests were there, and there was a joy that came over them, the joy of God. And there was a celebration, party. And I believe that speaks of revival. Speaks of revival. You know, and when Pastor Derek gave me that awful, awful word last year, he said, your church might have missed the coming of its visitation, because we had a season about a year and a half ago where God poured down big time and we just kind of missed it and then it fizzled. And I was like, no, we're not going to miss it. And he's like, I don't know, man, you better get praying. So we did. We did prayer rumbles and we prayed and we combated the enemy, you know, as a church. So get ready, because God is pleased with you. Because when you seek to build the body of Christ, you're seeking God first. And all the rest of these things will be added on to us. So don't worry, church. Don't worry. God is still in control, and he's still on the throne. And he blesses those who do not sell him out for food, clothing, or compromise. Ha! The trial will only last a little while. In Ezra's case, it was about 6 months. It will only last a little while. But then in a little while, he will come. And he'll bring provision. And it's interesting because when the king sent the message, he sent a guy named Ezra. And Ezra was a high priest, and he came with provision and articles and all kinds of stuff. I'm going to read it in chapter 7. And I really believe that speaks of revival, because Jesus is our high priest. And so when we do finally do break through, and we call out to God, and we say, God, we know that all your promises are yes and amen in this church. The high priest will come, and he will bring his presence and his glory and his provision and his peace and clothes that will array us more beautiful than Solomon. Witness to it, Holy Spirit. Give him a good witness. Good. Ha, a little more Holy Spirit. Strong, tangible, yes, good. I want you to think about God and the dreams that he's placed inside your heart. Worship team. If you're new to this church, that's fine. Maybe you're just visiting. If you're just visiting, don't worry. God wants the same thing for you and your church. But this is my heart for people who come to this church, whether you're new or you're not new. That they would realize the goodness of God. And that they would not just stop at building a foundation, which is Christ Jesus. It says in 2 Corinthians that they laid a foundation of gold, but that foundation would be built upon. that that foundation would be built upon. That you would endeavor to build upon that foundation. Not dwell in your own house or your comfort zone, but instead, endeavor to dwell in the house of the Lord. Climb up that mountain and grab those precious stones and those bricks and bring them down. Bring them down. In the end of Haggai, it says that God said the latter glory will be greater than the former glory, and he will bring the nations unto you. Does anybody here have a call for nations? Yeah. Maybe Africa. Maybe India. Maybe both. Does anybody have a heat call for business, for finances? Ha. Huh. Whoa. Yeah, somebody does. Somebody has a call to do business, to do finances. Ha. Huh. Does anybody have a heart to do evangelism? Yeah, there's an evangelist out there. Yeah. Whoa. So let's just stand. If you want to come to the front and spend some time with God, we'll pray for you. I'll just take this moment now. And if you don't know what God has called you to do or what God has called wants to give you, take a moment and ask Him. Holy Spirit. If you felt that you've been afraid to seek God first, and you've been building your own house, and you've been cold spiritually, and you've been hungry spiritually, good news. Today, God is calling you back. Back onto Himself, to His first love. He's calling you back to your first love. You can come up to the front and repent, and you can repent there. Holy Spirit, just keep coming. Holy Spirit, just keep coming. Shut up.